of you have been visiting God Said, Man Said for some time, but have yet to make your commitment to Jesus Christ. You have been drawn by the Spirit of God into the Valley of Decision. As the prophet Joel writes in chapter 3, verse 14, multitudes, multitudes, in the Valley of Decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the Valley of Decision. But you must know that the hand of God extended to you today is surely a limited time offer. The Spirit of God draws you, and when you continually resist, a hardening process unto eternal damnation occurs. Proverbs 29:1, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. It is true. The salvation of your soul is a limited time offer. Dear visitor, do not procrastinate. I'm reminded of a small card soul winners would hand out. On the card, there was a picture of a pair of shoes with the statement, "You may put your shoes on in the morning, but the undertaker may take them off this evening." It is just that stark. In just a few moments, you will once again be offered the salvation of your soul. Follow the simple prompt from your heart, and the greatest miracle man can participate in will be yours. Today, you will be born again, just as Jesus says in John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Today, all your sin and shame will be washed away by Christ's cleansing blood. You will be entirely clean. Today, all of Satan's bondages in your life will be broken. You will be clean and free. Will today be your day of salvation? Here is the prompt I promised. Click on the Further with Jesus for childlike instructions and immediate entry into the kingdom of God. Now for today's subject. God said, Colossians chapter 1, 13 through 20, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in heaven, things in earth, or things in heaven." God said, Hebrews chapter 1, 1 through 3, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." God said, Revelation 22:12-14, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city." Man said, "I'm worth it. If you want the truth, things only have relevance in how they relate to me and mine. How do I make out in this deal? Sure, I talk a lot about my focuses on the downtrodden and disenfranchised, but if you want the real truth, it's all about me." Now the record. Welcome to God Said, Man Said, feature 1297. All of these faith-building features are archived here in text and streaming audio for your edification and to be used as a platform from which to fish for the lost sons and daughters of Adam. Every Thursday Eve, God willing, they grow by one. Thank you for visiting. May God's grace and love be multiplied unto you and your home. Science seeks the theory of everything. Some know it as the singularity. They are seeking the foundation particle, the smallest building block of all life. There is, in fact, a singularity, but it's not a particle. It's a person. In this person, all fullness dwells. This person is Jesus Christ, Colossians 1:19, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. The born again are birthed through this singularity and build their lives around him. God Said, Man Said has published numerous features on the certifiable reality of Jesus Christ, God's singularity. The feature that follows will expand on this marvel. All of creation is fashioned after Jesus Christ because this pleases the Father. Several examples follow, and please notice that it all begins in Genesis. Number one, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, before there was anything, there was God, who is the Word, and in whom is everything. The primacy of words, the singularity, becomes obvious when one reads John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Here you find the Father and the Son. In the beginning was the functioning Word of God, and the Word was with God, which is Jesus Christ. Revelation 19:13 speaks of Christ and reads, and his name is called the Word of God. Note, his name is not the Word of Jesus, it is the Word of God, and of course, the Word was God. Jesus states several times that the words he spoke were not his, but of his Father who sent him. This marvelous relationship is described in 1 Corinthians 8:6, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. In the verse above, the word of means originating from, and the word by means a mediator. 1 Timothy 2:5 reads, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So then there is one mediator between God and man, and this mediator, is Jesus Christ, the by. The Godhead functions here, of the Father, by the Son, and through God's Holy Ghost. Watch how this works as Jesus Christ, who was with the Father before the world was, creates the earth and its universe by the word of his Father. Hebrews 1:1-3. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So you see, God speaks to us by his Son, and God creates all things by his Son, of the Father, by the Son, through the Holy Ghost. That's how it works. It is a 100% word matter. And God is the living Word, and of Jesus Christ, John 1:14 reads, and the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Everything which man considers real is made from God's words. Psalms 33:6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Jesus Christ is God's Word and his singularity. I often give this simple example explaining how the automobile is in reality a Wordmobile. The redundancy of this principle drives home a colossally critical point. I was attending my son's Little League baseball game. In conversation with another father, I mentioned the biblical point And the man retorted that what I had just said was just words, as if words had little value. At that point, I asked him how he got to the game, and he answered that he had driven there in his automobile. I challenged him, "Suppose I can prove to you your car is simply a product of words." He accepted with a smirk, "Try it." The following story ensued. A man was driving down the road in an old horse-drawn wagon, taking all day to accomplish what we would do in 20 minutes. As he's trudging along, he thinks, "Wow, I'd love to have a horseless carriage." I asked the other father what we had so far, and he answered, "Words." Well, back in my story, the fellow thinks about his new invention, and when he gets home, finds a tablet and a pencil, and describes this new invention with words and word pictures. I again asked the other father what we had so far, and he answered, "Words." Our excited inventor goes out into the field and digs up iron ore and other minerals, smelts it down into steel, products which God spoke into existence with words, and forms his new contraption and drives down the road in his wordmobile. It truly is that simple. It is the primacy of words, living words, Jesus Christ, the Word of God, his singularity. Everything with which we have to do is a product of words. Biologists were shocked when they first discovered DNA. They marveled that DNA housed the blueprints of life and delivered its building instructions using a four-letter alphabet, forming words and sentences and paragraphs and chapters and volumes. Words are the singularity, and Jesus is named the Word of God. Example number two. The scientific term is laminin. In biology, laminin is an inert, non-living product, and it functions as a type of scaffolding upon which, for example, all the body's organs are hung. Without laminin, no life. A picture of it is below. Laminin looks just like the cross of Christ. Coincidence, you think? Colossians 1:19, "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." Example number three. Science knows them as the four forces of physics. The strongest of these forces is called the strong force, and it poses quite a mystery to science. Somehow, this invisible, mysterious force holds all things together. Further, without this force, all things would go poof and disappear. The following excerpts are from the God Said, Man Said feature, The Blood and the Singularity. Jesus Christ is the singularity, the allness of all creation. Everything by design must revolve around him because this pleases the Father. Nuclear physics knows this as QCD, or quantum chromodynamics. From the biography on the jacket of Michael Gillen's book, Believing is Seeing, you find the following. Michael Gillen, Ph.D., is a graduate of UCLA and Cornell University with degrees in physics, math, and astronomy. The former science editor for ABC News, he taught physics at Harvard for 8 years and is the host of the History Channel series, Where Did It Come From?, and producer of the award-winning family movie, Little Red Wagon. He hosts the weekly podcast, Science Plus God with Dr. G, sponsored by K-Love and Air One Radio Networks, is the president of Spectacular Science Productions, and speaks to audiences worldwide. Quite the credentials. Dr. Gillen weighs in regarding nuclear physics and QCD. "We scientists believe the universe is pushed and pulled by four different forces. The strongest one, aptly named the strong force, holds together atomic nuclei the way corn syrup holds together popcorn balls. The strong force is at the very core of our physical being. It's what holds us together. Without it, poof, we disintegrate and blow away like dust in the wind. And that's not all. The strong force is a profound mystery. It originates deep within atomic nuclei, out of sight, in what we call quarks, the invisible and enigmatic components of protons and neutrons. No one's ever seen a quark, and if QCD is correct, no one ever will. Using the most powerful particle accelerators in the world, we have we bombarded the heck out of atomic nuclei in hopes of busting loose a quark, but with no such luck, end of quote. Without the strong force, Dr. Gillen writes, without it, poof, we disintegrate and blow away like dust in the wind. Everything, the earth, its universe, the life forms that inhabit it, everything was made out of the invisible by God. He most literally spoke all things into existence with his words of intent, and he spoke through Jesus Christ. It is also the power of these very words, this mysterious invisible force, that nuclear physics know as the strong force which holds all things together. Hebrews 1, chapter 1, verses 1 and 3 again. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. He upholds all things by the words, the invisible words of his power. Colossians 1, 16 and 17. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. By Jesus Christ, all things consist. The Oxford Dictionary defines consist to have a settled existence, subsist, hold together, exist, be. It also references Colossians 1:17, just quoted. In the strong force, nuclear physics has discovered the singularity that holds all things together. Thousands of years before science came to the conclusion, the children of God were already there, enjoying the bounties of the beautiful book. What science calls the strong force, we correctly call Jesus Christ, Colossians 1:19, for it pleased the Father that in him should all, the word is all, fullness dwell, end of quote. Example number 4. The world's history is measured in the name of God's singularity, Jesus Christ. It galls the skeptics that this is the same Christ whom the ignorant refuse to acknowledge even existed in the first place. In spite of their railings, all people, skeptics and believers alike, are born in his name. For example, the official birth date of a Christ denier born on January 1, 1990 would be January 1, 1990 A.D. That would be the official date. A.D. is the abbreviation that stands for Anno Domini, which is Latin for in the year of our Lord. Events that occur before Christ's birth are dated B.C. or before Christ. The skeptics, he's born in his name, will live every moment in his name, and he will die in his name, yet deny the Christ of glory all the while. How sad. How disappointing. The following excerpts are from J.H. Tyner's book, The World of Mathematics. A time-measuring system has to have a starting point. The day is measured from midnight. Years are measured from midnight on January 1. Longer periods of time are given as A.D. or B.C. These are references to the birth of Jesus Christ. Until the 1500s, people counted years based on the king who ruled at that time. For instance, the Bible, in the Gospel of Luke, describes the year John the Baptist began preaching as the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Luke 3:1. Counting years by different kings can be confusing. The 15th year of the reign of the king of one country might be entirely different from the reign of the king of another country. The new Gregorian calendar also officially changed how years were numbered. Jesus was called the King of Kings. People began measuring the years from the date they thought Jesus had been born. Years after his birth are designated A.D. The letters are from Anno Domini, meaning the year of our Lord, and years before his birth are given the letters B.C., which mean before Christ, end of quote. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and every single second revolves around Him because this pleases the Father. Everything revolves around Jesus Christ, God's allness, His singularity, and that's whether carnal man likes it or not. Man's science seeks the singularity, and hallelujah, we have found Him. Example number 5. Today's medical science again finds itself in Genesis and looking in the face of Jesus Christ, God's singularity. Genesis 3, verse 1 and 13 through 15. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the Lord said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The Word of God teaches us that the Old Testament law and prophets served as a schoolmaster and a shadow, bringing us unto the Christ of glory. The book of Psalms prophesies of Christ and writes in chapter 40, verse 7, Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. Every page of God's beautiful book revolves around Jesus Christ, for this pleases the Father. The lamb and the serpent are an excellent example. The Bible defines sin as unbelief. Romans 14:23, That which is not done in faith is sin. This law is first demonstrated in Genesis chapter 3. The mother and father of all living eat the forbidden fruit in an act of unbelief, believing the serpent's words over God's, and subsequent disobedience. As a result, the law of sin and death was ushered into the world. That's why unbelief is the definition of sin. In Genesis, the devil took on the form of the serpent, and the venom of his bite is unbelief. After Adam and Eve sinned, they realized they were naked and sewed together fig leaves to make aprons, but that covering was insufficient. To cover Adam and Eve's nakedness, which represents the shameful results of sin, God made them clothes out of animal skins that would cover their nakedness, Genesis 3:21. Note that a blood sacrifice was required to cover their sin. This blood sacrifice was not only the first offering for sin, but also a shadow of the sacrifice Jesus Christ would make on Calvary's tree, which was to come. In the volume of the book, the antidote for the serpent's bite is faith in the blood of Christ. Revelation 13:8-9 speaks of the unbelief of the wicked in these last days as they worship the dragon and the beast and find themselves missing from the Lamb's Book of Life. Note the words, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, in Revelation 13:8-9. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Everything from biology to theology must revolve around Jesus Christ because this pleases the Father. The research for the antidote to venomous snake bites has been going on for many decades. Jeremy Hart published the following excerpts in 1994 regarding the sheep as the ultimate weapon against the serpent. Thomasville, Georgia is the rattlesnake capital of America, the center of America's snake belt. Snakes are found everywhere from suburban garages to sugarcane fields. A nearby town even has a rattlesnake roundup where the serpents are gathered annually to have their lethal venom milked. Thomasville may be in the thick of the action, but it is far away on the virtually snake-free hills of South Wales, where the most radical advances in anti-venom technology in 55 years are being made. The clue to the revolution is in the fields of a 250-acre farm near Carmarthen, where 2,000 sheep graze in preparation for a monthly donation of blood. their blood bears what is claimed to be the purest antidote to the world's deadliest snakes. For almost a century, virtually all antivenoms had been produced by injecting horses with progressively large amounts of venom and then extracting the resulting antibodies. The horse's reaction to the venom is very powerful and stimulates a specific immunoglobulin, an antibody, IgGT. The T is for toxin, and a high proportion of patients given snake bite serum are allergic to it. Figures for an adverse reaction range from 10 to 80%, with experts settling at about 40%. This can vary from a rash or an asthma-type attack to death in extreme cases. Using sheep, which do not produce the T immunoglobulin that causes the side effects, was the brainchild of John Landon, professor of chemical pathology at St. Bartholomew's Hospital, London. In Britain, there is one in a million chance of being killed by a snake. The adder, our only venomous snake, kills just once a decade. But in countries such as Nigeria, where 1 in 10 hospital beds are occupied by snake bite victims, the need for radical and rapid new anti-venom is acute. Most of the bites are from the carpet viper, which is only 10 inches long but enjoys biting you. It is unusually aggressive, says Professor Landon, end of quote. The headline of a January 30, 2024 article on sheep and goats, Insights reads, "Is anti-venom really made from sheep blood?" Excerpts follow. When it comes to treating dangerous snake bites, finding a reliable source of anti-venom is crucial for survival. Recent developments have revealed that sheep's blood from South Australia is playing a pivotal role in developing rattlesnake anti-venom. Sheep in South Australia are helping fight snake bites. Their blood is special because it can make anti-venoms. After getting a small dose of snake venom, the sheep's body works hard to beat it. It makes antibodies that can attack the venom. These antibodies are then collected from the sheep's blood. Doctors use these antibodies to treat people bitten by snakes. They work fast and save lives. Some people think sheep might be immune to snake venom, which helps them create good anti-venoms. Sheep's blood contains hyperimmune globulins and proteins that are crucial components of anti-venom. When a snake's venom is injected into a sheep, its immune system responds by producing antibodies to combat the venom. These antibodies found in the sheep's blood are integral in creating effective anti-venom for various types of venomous bites. Research suggests that sheep may have a natural immunity to snake venom, making their blood an ideal source for developing potent anti-venom treatments, end of quote. Why do they always end up here? Because everything starts and ends here, and this pleases the Father. The antidote for the devils, that old serpent's venom, is the blood of the Lamb. Surprised? God said, Colossians 1:13-20, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things on earth or things in heaven." God said, Hebrews 1:1-3, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. God said, Revelation 22:12-14, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Man said, I'm worth it. If you want the truth, things only have relevance in how they relate to me and mine. How do I make out in this deal? That's the question. Sure, I talk a lot about how my focus is on the downtrodden and disenfranchised. But if you want the real truth, it's all about me. Now you have the record.